Blog Talk Radio.
It's all right.
You're like, is that your car?
Yeah, I'm in the car. I'm on the way to a call right now.
I got you.
I got you. 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'd like to fucking apologize for last week not being on air. We had a little bit of snow problem here, and we couldn't make it to the luxurious FAP studios that I'm in right now. So, we apologize for, you know, all our FAP heads out there. Yeah, the FAP, we got, you know, the FAP Nation, you know, we got to apologize to them, all three of them.
Yeah, all of our FAPers.
Yeah, the dozens of FAP fans out there. We want to, you know, issue our apologies for that. Huh?
I said, sorry, we couldn't FAP.
I know. I mean, people are going through withdrawals. They're fucking, like, you know, shaking and shit. Probably had therapy and stuff. I mean, I you know.
Oh, my God.
And
this road is
fully
called Cock
too.
Avenue.
Do what?
Wow. Avenue.
Oh, I thought you were going to rock down Electric Avenue. And then, you know,
this
take it
road
higher.
Road was called Cock
Avenue.
Cock Avenue.
Nice.
Cock, yeah. Cock.
Yeah, I should live on that. That would be Big Cock Avenue. Oh, yeah. I went there.
You're a cocky bastard.
We actually have our guests on the hold right now, so I'm gonna go ahead and pull them up, okay?
All righty. Well, I've got, I'm literally right up the street from my call, so I may go on mute for a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. That's understandable. You got the Sisters of Salem up in the house. I think it's Sisters of Salem. Oh, it is. Because it's not, I'm screwed. Hello? It's 5-4 number.
I thought I heard a little bit of something.
Yeah, me too.
Are you alive?
Hello? I'm trying to think. Did you write down the names of the people? I wonder if that's Jimmy calling. I don't know why. Jimmy does have a 560 number, 540 number. Does he?
I think he does have a 540.
Oh, Jimmy, is that you?
Well, did you cue me up? I didn't even cue in.
Well, I got a 5-4 road number. I thought it was my guest coming on. I knew
no, that's
number.
Me.
Okay, well,
yeah, I just called in to listen.
You doing good?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just sitting back in my recliner.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll put you back on hold again. Sorry about that.
All right.
So I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, man.
Bye. Oh, well.
Bye.
That was stupid. See, that's what happens. It's some kind of real shit you got on FAPS, you know? We don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just fucking going at it, man. So, yeah. Well, all right. So you need to go do your thing.
I'm not quite there yet.
Okay,
I've got
good.
I
don't have much talk about myself.
Well, you can sit around and sap.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. But that's, you know. Do you really want
sap
on here? Though? I mean, jeez, I might scare away the customers. So yeah, man. I went to the doctor's office today. Sure, I'm like, but. I've been run over by a truck. He's like, take some fucking quit bitching.
Huh? I'm right there with you. I am right there with you right now. I feel like I got hit by a truck.
I don't know what it is. I think it might be maybe the time change or something, or the weather. It's like, good God. I can't get myself ready to do anything.
Mine's the tire change because my hydraulic jack didn't work and I had to use a scissor jack. I don't know if you know how much of a difference there is between those two.
I'm pretty sure it's a big difference.
The scissor jack is the little piece of shit that comes with most cars.
Oh,
and,
shit, yeah, I hate those things. You guys, is that one you have to turn? Like...
Yeah, it, I had to do that on an Oldsmobile 98.
Jeez.
Not very much fun.
No,
I mean,
but
it was a lower car, so...
Still, I mean, damn, at least it was kind of nice out. I can't imagine trying to do that when it's like negative 10 degrees below zero and you're trying to crank a car up and you're freezing the whole time. At least you got started. At least the first day was a nice day instead of, you know,
it
being like butt-ass cold outside. Huh?
I wonder if the guy's still on location or not. I can't see any of the addresses. Brag. All right, I got it.
Do you see him?
Yeah, okay, I'm on location now.
All right, well, I'll keep the customers entertained, I guess, hopefully.
My bad. I'll be right back, all right? It shouldn't take me but
That's
so
cool.
long.
That's cool.
All righty.
All right. So... Yeah, so I'm by myself, which is awkward, but you know what? It's okay, you know? So, yeah, went to the doctor's office today, and I guess I was feeling like total ass today. All weekend, I was feeling just kind of run down, you know? But, yeah, I went there, and he says, like, I thought he was talking about, like, strep throat or some shit. It's like, oh, just take some Mucinex, and you'll be all right. So, hopefully... That will that'll take care of the problem. Got a little bit of a headache, but you know, was this me? Oh man. So yeah, we had a pretty good weekend hanging out. We did some evidence review with some of my team members. That was fun. We actually caught some pretty cool fucking shit, and. That's exciting when you get something, when you catch something like that, you know. It's always fun to catch stuff and, you know, compare it, show it to people and see if they see what you see and once you realize that, hey, you might have gotten something, it's always a good feeling. Got some good EVPs as well. That's always and we've always gotten good EVPs from the location we went to, from Bell Nemus. and this time our last investigation didn't disappoint at all. And anyways, back to more current events. We lost an author, a literary icon from Virginia, a paranormal author by the name of L.B. Taylor. He wrote a lot of books about ghosts in Virginia. He was actually a very big influence on me. When I was younger, I was 10, 11 years old or something, it's my birthday, I got a book called The Ghosts of Richmond. And on the cover of the book was this place called Maymont Park. It's in Richmond. And there is a house. The house in Maymont Park is called the Dooley Mansion. And I used to go there all the time with my mom. She would take us out there and during spring break, and we walk around and pet the animals and stuff. And behind the house is the Dooley Crypt, the mausoleum where Mr. and Mrs. Dooley are buried. Well, I knew what was in the mausoleum when I was a kid. And when I was little, ghosts scared the shit out of me. So when I got the book, Ghosts of Virginia, and I saw the Dooley Mansion, it made me think of the crypt. So in my warped mind, I thought, hey, you know, if the ghost book is in my room, then obviously the ghost will jump out of the book and come get me. So I couldn't sleep with that book in my room. I had to keep it downstairs in my basement. And the man who wrote that book was L.B. Taylor. And he was part of the reason why I got, into this hobby or whatever, into this field, I guess, was because of him, reading his books. And because I always been fascinated by the history of, like, locations or, you know, what could have caused a location to become haunted and everything. So he was a big influence on me in my introduction to this field. I've read all his books, and I was very sorry to hear that he passed away. I actually was able to talk to him on the phone one time. I had a story that I thought would be interesting for his books. I called him up, and he actually was very friendly with me. I mean, I was just, you know, some kid. Well, I was like 23 when I called him. I guess I was a kid, but 23 when I called him. But I just called him out of the blue at his house because he had a phone number on the back of his book. With the back of his book saying, hey, you contact him at this number. So I called him up, you know. I can remember because I was sitting out of my girlfriend at the time, now my wife's work. And I was waiting for her to get out. And I was reading his book. I'm like, let me call him and tell him my story. So we caught up and told him my story, what happened to me. And he was like, yeah, come on. Send me a copy of it, or, you know, write down or email it to me. Well, I never got around to it because I didn't think it was a long enough story to be included in one of his books. But it was cool that he took the time to, you know, talk to me and everything. And I saw him a couple of times after that at Busch Gardens. He was signing books and stuff. And I think my guest's online right now, so I'm going to stop, you know, talking and go ahead and introduce them. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Is this the Sisters of Salem, the SOS?
Yes, it is. How are you doing, Ryan?
Oh, my goodness. You saved me. Amber had to go on a call. She's pop-a-locking.
Uh-huh.
So... And my partner is on a call right now, so she's on mute. So I'm sitting there trying to kill time, just talking, babbling on about shit by myself. I was like, oh crap. So hopefully I wasn't too bad. But how you guys doing?
We are doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. You know, just I was telling Amber today that I just, this whole time change is fucking me up big time. I've just been feeling like I've been hit by a Mack truck. trying to feeling like crap, you know. Might be allergies, too, you know, but I don't know. I got to drink some fucking coffee.
Maybe it's just paranormal, Ryan. That's what it is,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's paranormal.
Air. Yeah. Air.
Don't blame it on anything else. That's what it is.
Yeah. Everything I do, everything that happens to me is paranormal.
Heck yeah, man.
Hell yeah. I got some kind of weird attachment on me or something. I don't know.
Anything that happens to me, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Did you feel that wind? Oh, it's paranormal.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Did someone just fake me? Oh, that's just paranormal. So how was your day?
Our day was wonderful. What did you do today?
Well, I went to work.
That's always lovely.
Yes, it is. And I plugged myself into my computer and put on some EVPs and listened to EVPs while at work. Don't tell anybody. You keep that between you, all right?
No one will ever know about
that. Ever-growing FAPS audience, the FAPS Nation, as I like to call, are two or three fans that listen to this show.
They won't say anything either.
No.
They promise.
Okay. As long as they cross their hearts and hope to die, you know.
Yes.
They're
pinky swearing, I swear.
The pinky swear?
Yeah, they're
all pinky swearing, right? Are they spitting their hands and shit? I got you.
Yep. Yep.
So I have a question for you, Ryan.
Yes.
The other day, you and, I think Howard, which is your, the director of your group, right?
Yes.
I saw that y'all posted something that you got some good findings at your last location. What'd y'all get, man, if you can tell us?
Well, without getting into too much detail, because I don't know what I can actually tell you guys, but we had some interesting stuff on video, very interesting video that Amber can agree with. You're back,
hello,
Amber?
I'm off my call now.
All right, you're done? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to find some place to post up real quick.
Okay. Well, yeah, we got some good evidence on video that we actually watched last night. Very compelling shit on video. And we have, we've got good EVPs. Too, very good EVPs. And I'm going to bring Howard on.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Howie. Howie, what's up?
What's going on, folks?
Oh, shit. Howie's in the house. What a...
I don't know if this is Howard or the devil. I swear to goodness, man. I'm like, what?
Oh, Howdy!
What the hell is going on?
I have no idea what the hell that was.
315.
We're going to make this into a party. What's up, people?
We're trying to get this show on the road, buddy. Let's get this party started. Where's the keg? Where are the fucking shots?
So what's up, my beautiful?
What are you doing, Howard? I was asking Ryan about, like, the evidence y'all got the other day, because I saw you posted something about it. And anytime that y'all have, like, something that's, like, on film or picture, man, that gets me super excited. You know that.
Oh,
we got some shit. We got some good stuff.
I'm not taking this show over by any means. I'm just here to help Ryan and Amber where I can. I can't tell you a word just yet. We have some Class A EVPs. We have got phenomenal video that will make anybody go, what the hell was that? I cannot wait. I just can't tell you.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So
I was telling him. I'm like, I don't know what I can say right now. But I just said, look, we got some good stuff. We got some good stuff. That's all basically all I can say.
Hey, look, we're just doing this. We're knocking on the door of the paranormal world, and here we come.
Yeah, but we're kicking the door open. You hear that?
I'm telling you, Howard, you took your Red Bull tonight, man.
I got my fucking double shot. Got my fucking energy coffee drink going.
Heck yeah, man.
Ready to rock and roll. Hey, I was talking earlier about the passing of L.B. Taylor, and I was giving my story about just what he meant to me. Do you girls have anything that you would like to add to that as far as you talk about what he meant to you and everything?
I bought a book of his. It was like the little funny, goofy stories. I bought it from him when I met him that one time, and it was the best thing ever because it was like how we look at things and how it could just not be paranormal. It just might be like goofy stuff you just overlook. And that was like my favorite book of his. But when I took a college course, this sounds horrible, but this was before we started our group, and I took a college course, and it was actually a paranormal parapsychology, and his book was actually the literature we had to study, so that was pretty awesome.
Sounds like the coolest class ever, because L.B. Taylor's book is, you know, part of a, you know, course curriculum, you know? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Plus, we actually took a tour one time, the PC, which I'm not sure if those guys are around anymore, but they used to do, like, little lectures and groups and stuff, and you could go to, like, locations, and we went to the Sandusky, which was, I think, in Lynchburg, and he was there, and it was really cool because he just looked like a little old man, and then, you know, you were like, well, I don't know if this guy will give a good speech or not, but when he got up there behind the podium and he started talking, this guy brought his stories to life. And we were able to, like, get a picture with him while Ash was and stuff, and it was just really neat to see the behind the man of all these stories and all these books. So it was really neat.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Like I was talking on earlier, it's like, I called him because I was waiting for Shannon to get off of work, and you know, I was in the parking lot, and you know, where she's working at a restaurant, and in the back of the book, she was like, you know, you contact him at this number. So I was like, oh, fuck, I'll call him, you know, and see what he says. So I called him up, and he was very gracious. You know, I'm calling him in his house out of nowhere. He doesn't know me from Adam. And he was very nice, and I told him my story, and he wasn't like, you know, oh, no, screw you. He was like, yeah, just give me, write down and send to me, and I'll see what I can do about it. I can see what I can do in my next book. But, you know, I never did it, but still, it was still nice that he was able to, he was so nice to me, and he talked to me, and he was very, you know, very nice. He will be missed, for sure.
Oh, definitely, and what I liked about what Ash was saying, too, about it is that he had all these stories and all these encounters, but he would also tell you that, you know, he didn't have that many encounters himself. He was just going around getting, compiling these stories, which I thought was really cool, man. And
yeah,
just
cool
to see just a regular man doing this, it kind of reminds you of how every investigator gets started. They're just a regular person with an interest in this, and, you know, we just happen to go into investigate, and he just happened to be writing books, you know?
Yeah, it was great that he took the time to go out and collect these stories that without him, I never heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of places that, you know, I never would even thought of it being haunted. And he took the time to go out and collect these stories and put them in a book and make them very easy for us to for us to get a hold of.
Heck yeah.
So that was great, and like I said, we just wanted to give like a little bit of a shout out to him and tell him, you know, tell the world what we thought of him.
Definitely, and you know,
he will be missed.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking forward to seeing him because you know you're speaking at the Boxwood in the Paracon next month. I think it's next month. And we were too, and I was really excited about seeing him there and like hearing him speak. So. I know this.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah.
He would have been a tough act to follow, that's for sure. Hey,
heck yeah, he would have. I would have enjoyed it fully, man.
Oh, that would have been a great interview to have on Fats.
Oh yeah, definitely. That would have been great.
But just want to say we miss you, LB Taylor, and hope you're writing some good stories up in heaven right now.
Yep.
So, anyways, back to the actual interview. Not even interviews, just discussion, shooting the shit, chat. Good time.
That's what we do best, man, is shoot the shit.
Yeah, man, we sit there singing. We out here fucking singing SpongeBob songs.
Hey, you can't tell all of our secrets to all of our investigations, man.
Well, not the first one. We got to leave them wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. Not everybody breaks out the SpongeBob like you and Ashley did, right?
I'm finally here. I've posted up, so I can talk now.
Oh, good. You're back, Amber. This is Missy and Ashley.
How do you do?
Hey.
There's some weird background noise going on. It's really distracting me right now.
Well,
is there a radio going on or something?
I don't have a radio. It might have been me at first when I was driving around, though.
Well, I could hear your car. That wasn't that distracting. There's something like just some talking going on. I
don't know.
I got ADD, so shit kind of distracts me or whatever. So, yeah, we were talking about Amber. Ashley and I were investigating the exchange together, and we discovered we both have a love for SpongeBob. And so we were sitting there singing songs, SpongeBob songs, during our investigation, which I know isn't very professional, but...
Hey, that's a bonding experience, man. I don't bring up SpongeBob for anybody. You got to feel
When you break out the Andor song, I mean, that's such an obscure song on SpongeBob. You know that song, you know you're a fan.
Isn't a pineapple under the sea?
That's right.
That's the best song ever, man.
It is.
That should be our ringtone. Or your beginning statement. You know, your beginning song for FAP. That should be it.
The indoor song should be our intro song.
Yeah!
All right, we'll change it. We'll change it to the indoor song.
I think we can change it to...
Oh, the Ghostbusters!
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. We should play the indoor song as our outro.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I always
try to play that song when we go to investigations, but they always turn it off. The Ghostbusters song, but hey.
I always like the part of Thriller when they're doing the Thriller dance, that dunk dunk. Dun, dun. I like that.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
If we could all, before we investigate, just start dancing, man, how awesome would that be?
You know what we should do? We should all the paranormal group, Virginia, to learn how to do the Thriller dance, and we'll do it at Paracon.
Oh my god! Y'all have to study up, and we'll study up.
I already know the Thriller dance. Damn it! We did it for Rocky Horror one year.
Oh, shit.
And it was nothing but Thriller. I am sick of that song. Fuck you.
It's okay. You
I
just
refuse.
Set out, girl. We just dance it out. You can do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dance it out.
Ryan, you ready to dance, baby.
Dance the blues away. Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool. Let's talk to Angel. We'll get that set up. Paracon of the Exchange. We'll all do the Thriller dance.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? She'd be like, okay, we have to have a Thriller break, and we could just break it out.
Hell yeah, man.
Don't be teasing me here, Ryan, because if I hook this up, you better be up in there, too.
No, I'm going to be managing. I'll be in the background telling you guys where to go.
That's like saying you're going to play the spoons. Nobody cares about the spoons. What the?
I'll be back
you
there.
Have to be up
be
front, in the front.
Okay.
Play the tambourine, man. We're losing them.
I'm back to playing my triangle, you know? That's a big
deal. Oh, my Lord. You play a mean triangle?
I do. It'll bring tears to your eyes.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I tell you what, seeing a grown man play a triangle would bring tears to my eyes.
I'm like the fucking, I don't know, whatever, the Garth Brooks of triangles, you know. I mean,
you tear it up, buddy. Don't you let nobody tell you different.
Dude, I'm Eric Clapton of triangles, man. I mean, I tear that shit up. Stop laughing. Shut up.
So let me ask you guys. Now, everybody, like Amber, how many investigations have you been on?
Technically two.
Okay. Has it been to the same location?
The same location? No. It's been two different
locations. So, like, now I'm just going to throw this out there, because Ryan, we talked earlier about just doing, like, round robins of questions, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All open discussion.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Okay. Is there ever one location that you are like, no, I'm not going to go back to? And don't give me the political answer of, no, I love them all. I want you to be like nitty gritty, and we'll tell you ours.
Well, no, there's no location I wouldn't really go back to except for my first house. My first house was horrible.
Uh-huh.
Horrible for stuff. Like, my mom told me that when I was a kid, she went to put me in the shower, and I was like, no, Mama, I can't go in there. The eyes are watching me. Like, I mean, that's
good,
creepy.
Yeah, I would think that would be a little bit creepy. So that would be your place of never going back to, right?
Yeah, my first house. It's over on, I think, Sedgwick Drive in Henrico.
Oh, my goodness. Ryan, what would yours be?
As far as never going back? No. I mean, I don't have one. I haven't been enough places to go to a place where, I've been to the Exchange, I've been to Belle Nemeth, I've been to Henrico, and all those places that I would go back to.
Oh, so you've been, like, really blessed to go to the good ones, right?
Well, I mean, I've been, the good ones around here, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I haven't
been out of state or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing that's really happened at any location that makes you go, whoa, I'm not going back there.
Right, exactly.
How about you? How about you guys?
Okay, Ash, you go first, and then I'll give you mine. Okay, mine, it's not really scary. I didn't feel like it's, like, all that worth my time, I guess. It was actually an outdoor investigation, because I like things, like, put into, like, a little square that I could detain. And this was at a bridge. I mean, that's not my kind of investigation at a bridge, because I had teenagers on the bridge saying, ooh, we're coming to get you. I'm like, what the hell am I investigating with this idiot up here? But, I mean, that's not my little square of liking to investigate. So I do like going to, like, a graveyard out in Craig County with Robert Tuggerson. He's awesome, and I love that place because that's out in the middle of nowhere, and you can pretty much think, okay, this is a deer, this is that, the other. But when you're out in the city investigating the slums, I don't really want to deal with, pimps and crackheads and street corners and all that stuff, but I think that would be mine.
I can't say I blame you for that at all, having to deal with that.
Oh, my God. That is horrible because she took mine. I was like, man. Yeah, because that was really bad, dude. Oh, my gosh. It was beautiful, but the contamination was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine would be, it's a place that everybody really likes. It's Waverly Hills, I think mine would be, just because we didn't get anything like what they, everybody's like, oh, I got great. It's so contaminated with not having windows and doors, and you don't see that on TV. But the first three, like, areas or whatever, you have the walkway where they push the patients out. Then you have the rooms, and then you have the main hallway in between the two. All that's open, man. So when you stand up there, it feels beautiful, and it looks beautiful. But you can hear the stuff from the city. And we had personal experiences there, but I would have thought we would have come home with something as an evidence, and we got nothing.
So it's mostly just noise contamination. and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like if you have different groups that you split up, oh my gosh, you can hear exactly what is going on. And it, in that place is like, what, 5 levels actually? And there's like no, I mean, the windows and stuff like that, but it's really cool. Even the body shoot where they would put the bodies down in.
I think everybody should go just to be there.
Yeah, definitely.
But well, they know they're turning it into a hotel room, so maybe we could all get a room or something there.
I mean, oh, yeah, I heard that, man.
The places you wouldn't go back. You're like,
yeah, let's go. Look, I'm up for anything. But as far as what
I'm always up for an adventure, so count me in.
Yeah, but they're making it into a hotel. That's
yeah,
what he was
that?
Just saying. Yeah, now that, I don't know about that. I don't, what do y'all think about that?
Well, I mean, they are trying to update it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they bought the hotel, they bought the place, so
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned, they can do what they want to with it because they, you know, it's their money.
Right, exactly.
You
the
know?
Only
I mean,
problem
people,
that I would have
it's
with
it's not like they're keeping
yeah.
it a secret that it's haunted.
Right,
I mean, people know
exactly.
it's haunted, so you know that's what they're coming there for, to have an experience. I hate turning ghosts into a tourist attraction, though.
Yeah.
First attraction, though, that seems kind of disrespectful. Almost like it's a fucking zoo or something, you know.
Oh, well,
here, look
definitely.
At these. You know, don't poke the glass. Don't feed the animals. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
the
we'll
only
see how long they stay open because they you know the ghosts might be spirits. I'm sorry, spirits might be pissed off and you know they might not be able to keep customers there. You know?
Yeah.
They're constantly being woken up and shit by like stuff floating across the rooms and you know. You know, whatever activity they're going to have there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the only thing is, like, with the hotel idea, I know they can make more money at this because of breaking it down into hotel rooms. But the bad thing about that for groups, per se, is when you
mm-hmm.
go now, you can rent out the whole building, right? And you can split
yeah.
up your groups, stuff like that. But if you have it as a hotel, you can only rent. We've tried to do a hotel before, and it's like, they'll say, well, you can walk around and you can investigate.
Wait, I thought they were talking about making it a paranormal, like, mission study place. Didn't they say that?
At one time, but now they're talking about hotel.
Oh.
So you would be able to rent that room, but not the whole place. You would have other people there. So I don't know if you could ever truly get, like, the contamination-free that you have now, what they call contamination-free, you know, like just
what?
You, your group there.
We got to figure out those people who are going to be renting rooms in that hotel are going to be paranormal investigators. So they might say, hey, you know, you can roam around the halls because most people are going to be paranormal investigators anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they have a floor just closed off and just have like one floor for paranormal investigations or whatever. And I mean, I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to spin it. But,
right. We'll have to. I mean, and if you okay, if you go there, man, trust me, it is probably 20 years in the making to make that place a hotel. It is. I mean, they're working with like it's the shell of the building. I mean, it is nice and it's big and things like that. But it's also they got a lot to do. So I don't see that anytime in the near future at all.
Well. It really depends on how much money they have and how much they're putting into it and how fast they're going to be able to get it started. You know, the more money you throw at it, the faster it's going to be.
Exactly.
Together. But, you know, if they close it down to investigation to renovate it, they're losing money right there because there won't be anybody, their income will stop.
Right.
Because they're, you know.
Sorry, I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm actually I'm filling out paperwork and stuff.
That's all right. It's all good. We're holding the fort down.
Sorry. I'm listening to you guys, though, so.
No, I'm just kind of disappointed that the Waverly Hills wasn't as good as you thought it was going to be.
Do what?
It's disappointing that it's Waverly Hills wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, like, the way they drum it up on TV, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so cool. But, okay, we like to have evidence. You know that, Ryan. I mean,
yeah,
we go through
yeah.
stuff just like, I mean, y'all go through stuff. And the best
fine-tooth
part
comb.
Is, yeah. Say it again?
the fine tooth comb. You want to make
exactly.
sure you have this, you know, and not
right.
bring any bullshit to the table. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when you go to someplace like that, you're hoping to bring home that gem because everybody's like, oh, it's so wonderful. But we did have, like, a couple personal experiences. We saw a shadow man stand up. That was crazy. And I saw mm-hmm. Doppelganger, which I've never, well, I guess you consider it that. That was cool, but as far as me being able to bring home and say, okay, this is what I got, I didn't get nothing, and I just wish it was more activism in that area, you know?
I mean, it
yeah.
could have been the day we were there and the crowd we were with, and maybe our, like, chemistry wasn't working good. Maybe it was something like that. It's just we're kind of, we have this big place that we could say we went to, but we don't have anything to really show anybody about.
Yeah.
Just personal, just the fact that she went is, you know.
Yeah.
Right,
you know, right.
Bring home. So you said the noise carries, you're a group of people, and you can hear other groups
yeah.
in the building?
Yeah, like, we went
so,
with, okay, yeah.
So if you got an EVP or, you know, you thought it was an EVP and it was someone talking, you can't tell if it's a spirit or if it's someone from another group?
Well, it's not like, well, you can hear them, and I guess if we were to, a lot of times if we had heard them, we would tag, you know,
mm-hmm.
but we would also, it was very audible. Like if somebody was on the fifth floor and you were on the third floor, you could definitely hear them. So you had to keep that in mind when you were going over evidence. And
yeah.
also, you know, if you get an EVP or something like that, you know, we just analyze it to see what level it's on, as in the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
And that's really cool. That really helps us out and stuff like that. But as far as, like, you just had to be very aware of that. I think if you took a smaller group, because we had a group probably about, like, 15 or 20 people, because
mm-hmm.
you want to keep your costs down. You know that, man. You want to
yeah.
go as cheap as you can, because you know it costs a lot to even be in this field.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to keep your costs down, but you also want to be able to, you know, go investigate and come back and say, hey, I got this. So I think that if a group was able to go and only have, like, five or six, man, I think that would be really cool. But, gosh, who can afford that, you know?
No, you'd have to be a very, very rich group to go to Waverly Hills with those higher six people.
Heck, yeah.
You know? And I think
I still want to,
you know,
hit up Waverly Hills in Kentucky before they turn it into a hotel, man.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. They
changed the idea from going and turning it into apartments to turning it into a hotel now.
We all could have lived at Waverly Hills. That would have been an interesting. That would be an interesting
yeah,
reality
I
show right there.
That apartment, yeah.
Damn, we could have made some serious money off that.
Heck yeah.
Waverly Hills.
So where do y'all want to go? Where is some place that would be on your bucket list?
Do what?
Where's the one
place
that would be on your bucket list?
As far as investigating?
Waverly Hills is part of my bucket list.
Waverly Hills is on your bucket list?
Yeah.
Is that your number one?
You know, I think so. Because I've been talking about going there for years, like, even with my mom. We both talked about it. She was like, if you would, you know, get everything together and we could go, that would be awesome.
Heck yeah, man. Let me tell you how kamikaze we were, y'all. Like, back in the day when we went to Waverly Hills, right, we were, like, the type that would, like, drive down, investigate all night, and then drive back the next morning. But y'all know that we're coming from Virginia. So we had
yeah.
to drive, what was it, like, 6 hours? We drove down there, unpacked our gear, investigated all night, and then drove straight back, dude. I'm not joking. And
good
I'm
morning.
Talking about, I don't even know how we made it. We were just, like, in West Virginia all of a sudden. I was like, holy shit, who's been driving? And it was me. And, like, I mean, we were gangster back then now. Now we got to get a room, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hell, I drove back from Belle Eve, which is, like, 45 minutes away, maybe a half hour from Richmond. I was dog tired.
Heck yeah.
I barely made it back to my house after our last investigation. No way
I
could drive.
Man.
From.
I mean, now I'm like a couple hours. I'm like, gosh, I can maybe swing that. But me and Ashley have been so daggone tired before that. We were coming from the exchange one time, and we shit you not,
mm-hmm.
man. We would pull over at, like, every rest stop and take a half an hour nap to try to make it back home. Because we had to, like, go deliver newspapers, right? That's when we were, like, working as newspaper carriers. And we would stop and, like, go to sleep for half an hour at every rest stop. And then we'd be like, man, we're making... And I would, like, keep up with... Like, we would try to keep each other awake, roll down the windows and, like, the winter. I mean, it was crazy.
It's really bad
when
you see big people.
Do what?
I said it's really bad when you see big people trying to stay awake jogging beside their car. To try to get awake and come back home. It's kind of rough.
I've been known to stick my head out the window like a fucking dog, trying to keep my eyes
open.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, pounding energy drinks, fucking sucking on pixie sticks, trying to keep myself awake.
Hell yeah, man.
The only problem is it doesn't keep my eyes open. It just keeps my fucking heart rate going really fast. So I'm like all hyper, but I'm still
so then you're just sitting there with your eyes closed and your chest is crazy. You're like, man, I just can't
like,
go to
oh,
sleep.
God. I wish they had hadn't got rid of Jolt Cola. I could have used some of that a couple times.
Heck yeah, man.
Jolt Cola. What is that?
That's some stuff, man. That was, Ron was hooked on it, like the white pony.
I used to drink that shit when I was in Radford. You know, I'd drink a jolt, and then I'd go out to frat parties.
Oh, my God.
Be up all night. Woo.
Do you know, Ryan, that Radford has, like, the number one rate for STDs, man? Way to go. Your school did it.
Because
they were up all night drinking that Joe Cola.
Yeah, I heard that rumor. I actually heard that was actually at Salem, Virginia. I don't know. Salem, Virginia.
Oh,
Salem,
I see
Virginia,
we're going
Virginia,
with that line.
Yeah.
I see.
A tricky little fellow. I think I know where it came from.
Don't you know that's how the rumor started? The women from Salem went up to Radford, buddy.
It's your fault. Damn it.
We got a new line. It's called the Connor Crust. Once you
we'll
get
send
it, buddy,
it your way. We'll send it up your way.
That's all right. That's all right. You keep it down there. It's fine. That's fine.
Once we get, you know, a good, you know, immunization for it, buddy, we'll share with everybody. Yeah.
I'm a giver.
For
I'm a
price.
Giver, man. What can I say?
Okay, Ryan, what is your number one thing on your bucket list, paranormal bucket list?
Well, I guess what I've been thinking about the most is probably the Shawnee Lake, the one, the amusement park out in West Virginia. Because I kind of like
cool.
I like abandoned amusement parks. I think they're really creepy. So
that
I
cool.
I'd love to go. To go there.
Did you see what I posted about the Wizard of Oz, the abandoned amusement park? Like, it's all Wizard of Oz stuff.
I did, and
yeah.
Actually found...
Oh, my God.
I actually found a video on YouTube about a guy who actually went to that abandoned amusement park is walking around with
the
video.
Oh, my God. What an asshole.
The guy's website is called adamthewoo.com. And he goes through all these abandoned sites. He went to the abandoned set of Hey Dude from Nickelodeon.
Oh, cool.
And all these old abandoned zoos and this old, like, abandoned railroad. He found a train that was used in The Fugitive, down in some gully in Ohio or something. He finds all this weird shit, like old abandoned Disney amusement parks. Like sections
you know,
of like River Country, I think.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think you'd really like Centralia. If you haven't been. Centralia, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a road trip.
What is that?
It is the basis for Silent Hill.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I've heard that.
That's
yeah.
one thing,
okay.
Man. Silent Hill done screwed me up, man.
That's awesome.
I want to go. No, I can investigate goats.
Yeah. You investigate a lot of goats.
I like livestock, okay?
I mean,
but no,
Australia
I could do that, but no Silent Hill.
But it's cool. It's, oh, God, it's so cool. There's, like, three or four buildings standing up still in the whole town. Most of it's empty lots. You've got big mining pits. You can go up on this one hill that used to be a mining pit, but they can't do anything with it because there's still one of the coal veins is burning, and you can actually see the smoke coming up out of these vents in the ground. And there's this long stretch of road that is all broken up and stuff. It used to be part of the highway, I think that was said. And it's got cracks in it. It's just so cool. There's pictures up on my Facebook, and I think it's in a folder that says something about Silent Hill. You should check it out.
Goodness.
It's really freaking cool.
That is really cool. I had a friend who actually went up there too, and he was telling me about it. It looks really cool.
You were saying something about Lake Shawnee, right?
Yeah.
That place is really cheap too, man. It's only like $25 a person. When we went, and I don't know if they've raised it or whatever, but the contamination around, I'm just going to like give you a heads up on that. It looks like you're out in wilderness and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually right near the road, so you have to keep that in consideration. But it's really cool to see the old Ferris wheel and the old swing man, and like that's really, really cool.
That's why.
And they go fishing in there.
Do what?
And they go fishing in that pond. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they got like
there
a couple
go, yeah,
different.
Fishing.
Fishing.
You come on this one, boy. We'll take you fishing.
Thank you about that.
Fish. Man, we can't wait for fishes. Don't even
get us
started. But it's really cool. We saw some dead people there.
Do what?
We saw some. It was really neat because we didn't get any evidence, you know, because the outside elements and stuff, and it was kind of like misting and stuff. But the thing is when we left, come to find out, all the members that were there had a story about how they thought they saw someone walking towards them, and they didn't. And then once we got comparing stories, it was all the same general, like, area. And the cool thing was is my initial thought was, oh, it's just, I mean, because somebody can jump the fence, right? Because there is a fence around it. And I was like, man, somebody just jumped the fence or something. But once, like, I think every investigator was like, no, you know, I thought somebody was walking towards me, and then all of a sudden when I looked up, they're not there. Or, I mean, the dude I saw he was on a mission, and I just happened to look away for a second, and he was gone. And I thought somebody from our group, you know, was moving that fast. Rachel, you know, our other founder, she thought she saw one of the team members coming towards her. She looked up, and, you know, there was nobody there. So it's really cool on Shadow Play. That's really awesome there. We didn't get anything on audio, though.
That's not true. We came back with stuff. We got pneumonia. Oh, yeah. We got pneumonia from that trip.
you brought home a souvenir, huh?
Pneumonia
from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, you should come home empty-handed.
I think it's like in Russia or somewhere like that. It's the Chernobyl place where it was a big carnival or some kind of fair or something that was set up, and it was like Disneyland, and then it got like chemical leaks and they had to leave it.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I think that was on like Destination Truth or something like that, because I know they went to Chernobyl on one of their episodes.
There's a place like that in Japan.
There is?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Abandoned like amusement park.
Yeah, there's a huge one. I can't remember what it's called, but it looks like one of the levels from Silent Hill 2.
Oh, wow. They have those abandoned amusement parks all over the place around here in the United States.
I was going to say, there's a couple in fucking Newport News, Virginia Beach area.
Yeah, I saw it. There's one of the, like, abandoned water parks down North Carolina and places like that, and like there's a Chippewa Falls up in Ohio. It's all taken over by Mother Nature. So you go out in the woods, you see a giant Ferris wheel, or what used to be left of a roller coaster.
That's cool. I like that. My mom used to work at Lakeside, you know, here in Salem. I don't know if y'all have ever heard it, but it used to be like a big amusement park here. And one of her first jobs was she used to, like, you know, I think she used to, like, do the spider or something like that, like, control it. But she would tell me stories about how that thing would catch on fire with people in it and, like, all sorts of crazy stuff. So
and then,
you know there has to be, like, some kind of energy or something that's left over for them. People and kids and all that.
Yeah, all the happy times of kids going, you know, with their families and stuff, that energy is palpable. That energy sticks around. Actually, when I was a kid, there was an amusement park up in Canada I used to go to. I went to go visit my grandparents up in Detroit. We take a boat. We go to Boblo Island. And they have roller coasters and everything, a Ferris wheel, all that stuff. They closed down in the early 90s. And now it's, you know, an abandoned amusement park. You know, it's got all the old buildings and stuff. And, you know, like, you can go there and you can see where the roller coaster used to be and the Ferris wheel. You see part of where the old miniature golf course used to be. You know, I don't know if there's anything, like, activity going on there, but it's still neat because you have all the energy that's still there. People can say they can still feel it.
Heck
like
yeah.
Like it was, you know, still open, you know. So,
we've actually pondered before with the haunted houses we go to, like we help out at. We've talked about, I wonder if, like, the energy from the haunted houses, like, scaring people and all that actually contribute to, like, the spirits that go at the, like, venue. You know, like, Major Graham's, they have the haunted house, and it's already haunted.
Uh-huh.
And then Exchange has one, and it's already haunted. We just wondered if it actually helps with the activity, you know?
Or, like, if ever think about it, like, okay, it's supposed, one of the theories is like minerals or whatever is in that location that makes it supposedly haunted, right? Well, the biggest emotion a person can give is fear. So you got all these people coming into this haunted house and giving off all that fear, right? So let's say there was investigators, say 25 years from now, and let's say it's a place like Major Graham's. There's nobody there no more. They don't give the haunted house, let's just say. And that person happens to walk in there, and for a glimpse, they get, you know, like a memory that plays back, you know? And you see somebody running for their life, we're going to think automatically, the investigator, that something bad happened there when it could have just been a haunted house. Something to ponder there, my friend.
Well, yeah, you're right. They do feed on fear, and they feed on other emotions too, like happiness or extreme sadness. You know, but it's like, you wonder what causes a place to become really haunted, as opposed to when it's two or three ghosts or something. Yeah, we've been at a location where there wasn't much history to the place, but we've been able to catch a lot of great EVPs. And it makes you wonder what is it about that particular house that makes it such a good place for spirits to be without having a tragic history. I mean, does the place need to have a tragic history to be really haunted, or can it just be haunted with regular history, you know?
Yeah. And also, I was wondering, I always think about this. Do you think maybe the house would be more haunted if less investigators come in there? Because you think if you're dead and you see one person coming in there, you're going to be like, hey, I need help over here, you know. Or that just the factor of a lot of people coming in, does that make them more used?
That's a very good question, because when we go to Valnemus, we're the only team that's ever been there. We're the only people who have ever set foot, in that location. So, you know,
do you think that one's more active than the ones you go to that's had people there?
Well, it's been more active. We've got more evidence than we have gotten in any other location we've been to. As far as, you know, as far as the exchange location, the exchange investigation, you know, we got some stuff, but we didn't really get that much, and only, you know. I enjoyed hanging out with you guys, and you know, and I definitely enjoyed the location, but I think it might have been an off night for us there.
Yeah,
and I'm sure if we go back.
Sometimes I wonder if you actually have to develop, you know, like a personal relationship with the spirits. You know, you're like, oh, that girl, she farts a lot. Yeah, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know?
like that.
Yeah, I think you're right, because when we go to Belle-Nemis, they recognize us. You know, they say, hey, we know you. We'll come out. We'll do more. We'll talk to you more. We'll try to let ourselves be known. We first went out there. We got a few EVPs, but it's like each time we go back out there, new stuff starts popping up that, you know, blows our minds. You know, but what do you guys think?
Is this like an abandoned place, or do people live there?
People live there.
Do they ever join in with the EVPs and stuff, the sessions?
No, they don't. They were nice enough to let us use the house, and they don't. I don't think they want to be associated with it, because they don't want the spirits thinking they can talk to them. They want to keep it to just us, and they don't want the spirits to bother them.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, when I'm taking a shower, I don't really want to talk to a spirit not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, she wants to have a peaceful existence out there, but she's also curious as to what is out there and if there's anything in her house. But it's not like when we give her, when she goes over there, she's out there with a recorder trying to make contact with them. You know, she likes the evidence we give them, but she doesn't. She's not trying to make contact with them herself.
Right. Have y'all ever used her, and this is terrible to say, but is it like a trigger object?
No.
That is terrible to say, but like,
no.
Have you ever tried to use her as, yeah.
No.
Like not even, you know, she doesn't have to participate, but just have her in a room and see if it kicks up the activity or something?
No, she usually leaves before we even get started.
Oh, wow. So you got the whole run of the place.
Yeah, we do.
That's pretty cool.
And she's like I said, she's been very graceful gracious to let us use her place and pick up some really, really good evidence. But like I said, there's definitely history to the house, because it's an old house, and I know there's, you know, a pretty prominent family lived in the house, but you hear all these stories about these haunted locations where people have died, and it's like all this tragedy, and I could not find anything like that about, as far as, you know, people being murdered. And there is a story about the house in one of L.B. Taylor's books, but, you know, I couldn't substantiate that with, you know, what I found in the library. I couldn't, their state library, I couldn't find anything to back it up. So I don't know if it's true or not. Now, I'm just wondering what caused the house to become really haunted. Or you could have a murder house with a murder in it and only come out with like one or two EVPs. You know, you think, or like Waverly Hills, this humongous big structure, and you only come back with personal experiences.
Right.
I mean,
we are, gosh, this is terrible to say, but we are very, very scientific on the part of, if we are in doubt of anything, we don't use it as evidence.
Go ahead,
so,
not throw it out. I understand, yeah. We
yeah,
we
exactly.
Too.
So I don't know I don't know how other teams do it, and I respect all other teams and how they do it. I don't know if, or maybe they were just, we have found, as in when we investigate and things like that, we've found that actually the time of the month does affect it. We know this one gentleman that only goes on investigating on the full of the moon. He believes that he has this location that he has access to all the time, and he's done all different kinds of things there, and he realized that his activity sparks on the full moon. So that's when he investigates. I think that, I mean, because we have went to locations like Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and Girl Deborah that was with us, I think this was like her second or third time there, and there was no activity like that there until we went, and then it was just like off the charts. And I just think that it's kind of like me and you, Ryan, right? Like, yeah. I walked up to the first time I met you, and I was like, I like this guy right here. And that's the way I think that sometimes spirits are, too. They're like, hey, I see something in this person that sparks me wanting to talk. Like, if I saw a guy that came in and I really thought he was, pardon me, but like a douche, I wouldn't talk to him. I would be like, hey, man, I'm not going to talk to you. But if you have something that sparks their interest, I think that has a lot to do with it. And it could be because, well, I don't know for y'all, because you have men and women on your team, but as far as, like, us, we only have women. So sometimes that plays to our advantage, you know, and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends. But, man, I bet Howard is all ready to be like, okay, we're going to send a team of girls out and then a team of boys, and we're going to see how this rolls out.
Hey, it's, we're all about experimenting, trying to do things, you know, and
heck yeah,
see what works.
Heck yeah, that's exactly what this field is about, man. That's, I mean, it's just trying to see what works, what just a little tweak can make the whole difference, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no right or wrong way. There's a wrong way to do it, but the right ways are ever changing.
That,
you know, it's always constantly changing, you know, how we do things, and always learning new things, learning new ways of gathering evidence, of, you know, gathering information and stuff like that.
I completely agree with that. The only thing that bothers me, man, is sometimes in this field people get so set in their ways that they then want to turn around and tell everybody else they're doing it differently. And they're doing
it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That really bothers me because I don't think there is no wrong. Other than if you're completely faking things and you're fraudulent, then I draw the line there. But let's say that I want to go out and I want to try an experiment. There's nobody who should be able to tell me that that's wrong if I don't hurt anybody, I don't disrespect anybody, and I'm not doing any type of fraud. So I think you're right. I think that that's what we need. We need to have the people who, you know, want to expand, want to try different things in this field. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, disrespect, or break any laws or anything like that, then I think it's all cool, man.
Yeah, me too. I know a lot of people don't like provoking spirits. And
we don't provoke. But what I say with that is everybody else has, I mean, everybody can have their own, the way they do it, it's just that we're really respectful. Plus, we want to capture evidence in the best possible natural surroundings. You know? Like, you know this, Ryan, and I don't know how experienced you are, Amber, in the field and stuff, but after you've been out there for so long, the best evidence you will catch is when you're sitting there just bullshitting because they feel relaxed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what we were doing at the exchange, just sitting there talking, you know, and I don't like the rigid ask a question, wait a minute, and then ask another question, wait a minute, and that's boring to me. I can't, you know, I like talking. I like, you know, being able to, just talk on the investigation, because it's just, for me, it would just take forever. It just wouldn't be much fun.
Heck yeah. Plus, man, I mean, come on. You know as well as I do. After you've got so many investigations under your belt, how are you spicing up these questions, dude? I'm serious. Like, you're out there, and you find yourself in the same rut of asking the same questions. So you know what? Just start BSing. Just start talking. Just start, you know, like I would my friend, like I would you, man.
Yeah.
We've got the best
evidence. Well, that's what I do. When I was at Bell Nemus, I just sat there and introduced myself, and I was introducing myself because I figured if some random guy comes in there and starts asking you random questions, why would they want to talk to me? So I introduced myself, and I said, hey, I'm Ryan, how you doing? And, you know, told him about who I was, and, you know, and started asking questions. You know.
We've gotten the best EVPs actually from us just shooting the shit. And then in the background, you can hear them adding in. Like, we were just talking about the Army and, like, military, and some guy was like, hey. And then someone just telling us to shush, shush. I mean, that's, like, stuff we've gotten. And, it's, like I said, the best ones were when we were just talking amongst ourselves, not really asking them questions. Because after a while, people asking the same questions over and over, then you're going to be like, screw this lady. I don't care what she has to say.
You know, I mean, if you're talking to someone, like, you know, I was talking to you, I'm saying, hey, what's your favorite color? You know, what's your favorite food? I personally, I don't really care. I'll find out eventually what your favorite food is, but it's not something I'd be asking you straight off the bat. Hey, what's, you know?
Right, exactly. And, you know, the coolest thing is also this is really funny, but when we were at Old South, I finally got to, you wouldn't believe what you learn when you listen back to this EVP stuff, you know what I'm saying, or your session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But the coolest thing was when we were sitting downstairs and we were talking about a naughty nurse, and Rachel was like, yeah, naughty, and somebody said her name. A man said her name,
shit.
Which is awesome. Yeah, he was like, Rach, and was... No, he said the full name. He was like, Rachel.
Uh-huh.
And was awesome because, one, we have no men with us. And, two, when I put it through, like, the spectrogram, like, to look at
mm-hmm.
it and stuff, it was not from human voice. So we were really, really – that was so awesome. But what sparked whoever it was us talking about a naughty nurse. And I don't recommend everybody talk like that, but it just happened to be at that time that dude wanted to talk about some naughty nurse with Rach, and we were all good about that.
Well, I mean, if you're at a place like that, I mean, I guess there are plenty of horny guys there who died, and if you want to talk about naughty nurses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you happen to catch one pass by as you're talking about it.
Heck yeah, man, in Mount Mulatto over at Henricus, we got a whole bunch of fuck yous.
Wow.
I think those are probably pointed at me, too,
because that was the girl. That, you know, we got that one time. And, dude, we got that at, oh, my gosh. We went to Moundsville, right? The penitentiary in West Virginia, right?
And I
don't
know.
What did I say?
Lucky bastard.
I'm like, oh, my God, they're calling me bastards. What did I do?
No, you lucky bastards.
Oh, God, it was awesome. We didn't come away from EVP. Per se, but dude, what we came away with was so awesome. It was late at night, and it was in the hole, you know, where that one guy was put in there, and supposedly there were some people that maybe a guy got killed down there or something like that. But you're pretty much in the basement, dude, and it's just
like a dirty, dark hole.
Yeah, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear clink, clink, because you're sitting on, like, you know, metal chairs and stuff like that, and I hear clink, clink, and I feel something like buzz by me. I'm like, what the heck? And I say, I can never release this actually out on our website or anything, because I'm like, what the F? You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy crap, somebody's throwing gravels at me. So Ashley was on the other side of this gentleman we were investigating with, and I looked at him and I'm like, man, you keep throwing gravels at me? And he's like, no, I promise you. And Ashley's like, I didn't see him throw any gravels, okay? So I thought, okay, well, I thought there was a window behind me. So I turned, you know, I stood up and I turned around and I'm like, man, somebody's throwing through this window. And when I shined my light, the window, they had taken a piece of metal and welded it over the window, so there was no window there no more. So I was like, holy crap. I mean, that was like a jaw-dropping moment. And then Rachel decides to go in the hole with, you know, she has like, I don't know if it's her ovulus or what she has, but she hears audibly to herself, F you. And she's like, whoa, and she walks back out. And you can hear the rocks start coming at me again. And you can hear the pings, and it's just like clear as day. And you can hear me cussing because I've never had anything thrown at me on an investigation until this one. And when we went back out, I was like, holy shit, man, this is like a different level. And the guy that was out there that, you know, like the caretaker, the guy that's taking me around, like, yeah.
Amber's moving again. I heard her.
Yeah, I know. We're taking off again. Everybody,
it's a moving radiation.
We'll come to you.
Okay. We're on the road. We're on the road again.
Well,
the
caretaker
the
guy was
again.
Like, he was like, you know, women have a very bad experience down there. Normally people cuss them. They have things happen to them. We didn't know that going in, but it was really cool. And we have that. That is, like, the best for me because, I mean, who the hell gets shit thrown at them, man?
Well, I think Rachel also said fuck you to Rachel, too. but she didn't have it recording. She was just listening, and that was pretty cool. Apparently, it likes
Jesus. I see. Howie had his phone thrown off a chair at Bellinemus. He was playing some banjo music, and he was in there with an investigator, and he had his phone thrown off, knocked off on one of the chairs.
Really?
He was sitting on.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Huh. I mean, it's crazy how.
What do you think is the craziest thing you've done on an investigation?
Done on the investigation?
Come on, unveil. Get out of your car, girl. Come on, tell us. Turn that car off and you tell us what you've done.
Well, Ryan got to, I think, no, he didn't get to see me do it, but everybody got to hear it and react to it. I was coming up the stairs at Bellinemus, and it's got a low door frame, and I cracked my skull on it, saw black, and dropped out on the floor.
Holy crap.
You actually hear the thud. I listened to Dennis's EVPs he took upstairs, and you actually hear the thud on the recorder of you hitting the head, of you hitting your head.
Oh, you didn't hear
God.
It?
Yeah. All of a sudden you hear this, oh!
Oh, man.
You hear Kathleen going, oh, no, she hit her head.
Oh.
Yeah, next, yeah.
All right,
next time, duck your head.
Fuck you.
Ryan, what's yours?
The craziest, I don't really do anything crazy on investigations besides seeing SpongeBob with Ashley.
Aww, that makes me feel special.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, I only forgot the craziness when I'm with you. I remember
oh,
one time.
Oh, gosh. You had a little pain
in
my little heart.
We went to the, when Ashley and I were in the depot, and, you know, it was set up for Halloween, so all these, like, fucking maze shit going on. And we get to the end of the depot, and I'm like, what happens if something really freaky happens? We need to run out and get to go zigzag through all this shit in the dark. So we end up going back to the front of the place in case something, like, really scary happens. So we, like, run into walls and stuff trying to get out of the place.
Man,
we gotta
man that story up. We sound like wussies.
Hey, that's okay. I don't care. I mean, what'd you
okay,
say?
Misty,
you know,
what's yours? Oh, my God. What I've done on an investigation, the craziest thing I've done on an investigation, I get in, like, when we're at a location and we're paying and all this, I get into, I think, mega bitch mode. That's not crazy. That's just freaking annoying. Let me think. I don't know. I can tell you a funny story that happened to us on an investigation. It was at the exchange. Ashley got scared in the depot. In the depot, dude. Ashley got scared. And, yeah, there you go. And Rachel had, like, I know, man. It used to be with Ashley, like, when we would investigate, I swear to God, she's going to kill me for saying this, but when we would investigate, she would get so much gas, you couldn't stand to be around her. Because it was Black Ghost and Holiday.
I do remember.
Okay? It was so bad, dude.
You guys
it was
talking
like,
about that at the exchange, on our investigation.
Oh, my God, dude.
You had to send me to the base before because I was farting. How horrible is that? I'm lightning the show up here.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about this. Rachel texted in to tell me. This is so funny. God, I love you, Rachel. Rachel was like, Misty, tell them about what you did. We couldn't
oh
go
God,
pee.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. At Moundsville, man, I'm serious. Now, I'm sorry for anybody who happened to see a moon that night because I remember it was one of those trips that we drove all the way down there, we investigated, and we drove all the way back, dude, and we had to pee so bad. And we went around to the back of the building. I swear, if somebody had seen us in the bushes, we were, like, peeing. Like, was
that
all three
so
of us?
I know. No, I didn't pee.
Oh, you were the lookout, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was
it was,
the
like, full moons that night, man. And I remember, God, it was just crazy there. But we would do it again in a minute. But as far as the exchange, actually, Rachel had the Zoom on. And if y'all have ever worked with the Zoom, it actually delays 5 seconds. You know how dark the exchange is, right? And how, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
really
spooky looking, yeah. Well, Rachel's sitting there, and Ashley's across from her with a camera, like a camcorder, and then Deborah's over there, and then I'm, like, sitting kind of beside Rachel. And Rachel can hear everything because she's got her headphones on, like, 5 seconds later. And Ashley thinks something is, like, grabbing her or something. It was actually Beth, dude, but she didn't know that at the time. And she took off through the freaking camera, bulldozed through, bull charged, hit the wall. Deborah somehow ran through all that, made it to the door. We're, like, bull charging. And we're like, oh, my God, where's Rachel? And we turn around, and Rachel's just sitting in the middle of all that shit. Still got her headphones on, man, just going strong, listening. And we're like, get up!
That's funny. Wow.
I'm glad we can entertain you, buddy. It's okay.
Hold your laughter.
Hold
your
that
laughter.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let it get away from you now.
Sorry, I was distracted by the awesomeness of your story.
I know. With mine, I can hit you with fart incidents or just plain me being random, whichever you'd prefer.
Let's go for random this time.
Random? Okay, well, on my Facebook, I have a picture where we were in Old South. Now, I think this really helped, well, not really helped us, but this really did something for our investigation. The first day, we were walking through, just pretty much dicking off. We're just looking at stuff and getting the feel of the place, you know. So I'm going through, and I see this dummy on the bed. I'm like, oh, hey, oh, shit, son. So I figure, hey, there's this dummy laying there. I wonder if he's, you know, if he's packing. So I have a picture on my Facebook where I'm looking down a dummy's pants to see if he's, you know, got a Ken doll or whatever kind of bottle.
Oh, okay. She's anatomically correct, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, or
you looking at a dummy's pecker?
Oh, my God.
He didn't have one. I was really disappointed. If he did, then he would have been my best friend.
Oh, my God.
I'm playing. I wouldn't have.
As a disclaimer, we are a very professional group.
Yeah. Professional quotation marks.
Yes. And we'll come in, and I swear, if we're invited into a house to investigate, my sister will not look down anyone's pants while she's there.
Unless you pay me extra.
that's a deluxe package.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, girls. What actually got you into this whole field? This whole.
Okay, Ashley has to tell you. Okay, Amber, were you going in that?
I'm sorry.
Did you
want
to answer? Was it just for us, Ryan?
It's just, I know Amber.
Okay.
You, Ashley, and Misty.
Okay, I'll let Ashley tell you why we got in the field, and then I'm going to tell you how we got into the field. With I don't recommend to anybody. That's just our disclaimer. But, Ryan, since it's you, buddy, I'll tell the story.
Okay.
Only for you. This is an exclusive. You can only catch this.
We grew up
around a lot of, you know, people that were superstitious. They were like, don't go outside. There's a demon outside. Well, they weren't really like that. Well, you know, there was that rumor about the red eyes down our driveway.
Was that
a mountain? Anyways, we grew up with really superstitious stuff. And me and her used to hang out and watch, it was a TV show on MTV. And it was Fear or Factor or
Fear Factor.
No,
it wasn't Fear Factor. That was one of the gross things. But it was something else. I mean, used to watch that show, too, where they put, like, the cameras on people. They walk around these really, like haunted locations.
And it was, like, a long time before Ghost Hunters. And then since then, we always collected, like, books and things. And my sister, like, she had I moved with my sister when I was 16. So we were living in this house that had, like, questionable stuff happening, and she would always say, it's all right, it's going to come in the living room first because she's the one sleeping in the living room. So.
How we officially got into the field, per se, is, like, you know, everybody starts off with watching Ghost Hunters. I don't care who you are. At some point, you watch Ghost Hunters. And if they say they didn't, then they're lying. I know this is true, man. We at least glanced at it or something, right?
Yeah.
So you know, it really opened up everybody to this field, I think. I didn't even know there was groups around until we were like, man, it was me, my sister, and another friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, dude, let's go out to this graveyard and see if we can get anything. Now, first of all, disclaimer right here, okay, guys? First of all, it's illegal to go to Virginia after dark in a graveyard. Everybody should know this, and I don't recommend anybody, but we were dumbasses, okay? I got to tell you that straight up.
So well, you're young. I mean, that's what young people do.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, like last year. No, I'm just joking. No, it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. Oh, my gosh.
It might have been 6 or 7.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, we ended up going to this graveyard. Now, it was on my paper route. That's how I knew. It was like back in the country. All of a sudden, apparently the cops saw how ignorant we looked just driving around looking for a graveyard. So they come barreling up, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. And Ashley, the brave one in the group, must I remind you, says, screw this crap. I'm going to act like I'm asleep. And falls, acts like she's asleep. And I'm left holding the damn bag, dude. I'm like, I'm talking about they swarmed us. There was a car in front, a car on the side. Dude, I had just stepped out of the car.
You were in a graveyard, and you acted like you were asleep?
No. We didn't make it into the graves yet, dude. We actually had just pulled into the driveway, and I had stepped out of the car, right? And my sister saw the lights and was like, hell with this, and she acts like she's asleep. I'm like, are you joking? Holy shit. Like, I'm out. I can't act like I'm asleep. Shit. So they,
you
like,
act like
pull
a car. I guess.
I know. They pull a car in front of us, a car beside us. Dude walks over, and he's like, ma'am, can I ask what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, of course, you're like, oh, nothing. You know, I'm just on the paper route, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just checking out my boxes. I mean, I didn't know what the hell to say. I thought I would look, like, crazy telling them that, hey, I'm going to check out this graveyard. So after the guys realized that we're just, you know, plumb crazy, and my sister suddenly awakes, you know, the other car leaves, but the guy stays with us, and he goes back to his car, and he checks something on my car, whatever, you know, how they do, act all, you know.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and he's like, can you please tell me what the real reason you're here? And it was just us and him. And I said, all right, you're going to think I'm crazy. And I said, we're here checking out any spirit activity. He's like, oh, no, I don't think you're crazy. I'm in a group. We were like, what?
Oh.
There's actually groups out there? So this dude goes, here, pull into the church right here. And we sat there and talked to this dude for like an hour. He was giving me tips on my recorders. He was giving me tips on everything. And I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. So he was like, yeah, look up our group, you know, try to get into a group around here. Gave us all kinds of tips. He was super, super awesome. And that's how we got in the field, man.
Wow.
Holy shit, that's freaking sweet.
I know.
That is cool.
I know. Dude, we are freaking outlaws. But don't, the moral of the story is, if shit goes down with my sister, she is out or either asleep, dude. That's it.
That's the moral of the story.
Hell yeah.
Well,
don't trust her, dude. Don't trust her.
So she's faking it. Huh.
Hell yeah. So how did y'all get in the field? Tell us, Ryan, what made you get in the field?
Well, as far as joining ASPS, you mean, or what? Because I've always been interested in the paranormal. When I was in Radford, one night I remember watching a show on Ghost. It was me, my roommate, and my suite mate, all grown men acting all tough, watching a show about ghosts. And by the time it was over, none of us wanted to go downstairs to get a drink. I'm like, because we're so freaked out by it, you know. And the fact that something like that, the fear could overtake us like that, would just kind of suck with me. I'm like, well, why is that? And then I started getting into the like historical aspect of the paranormal, and it became less fearsome to me, more of an interest, like why are they still here? But I didn't know anybody who was in a group, so I'd watch shows like Ghost Adventures, and, you know, and ghost hunters, and I like to watch the beginning of the show where they go into the history of the house or the location more than I would like to watch the part, the actual investigation part of it. You know, I like to learn the history of it. So, but like I said, I couldn't find anybody who was in a group. While I was watching these shows, I'd post up on Facebook, like, I can't wait for Ghost Adventures to come on, or Ghost Hunters Tonight, I watch it with Rihanna, you know, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shannon's uncle, Tommy, was, you know, saw my Facebook post.
Oh, wait. Tommy and, you know, y'all's group, Tommy?
Yeah. Yeah, he saw my Facebook.
I didn't know that, Ryan.
What?
I didn't know that your wife was Tommy's niece. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he actually saw Shannon at a Rite Aid. So because we know we barely saw Tommy, you know,
we barely see him.
We barely saw him before we started the group. You know, we barely talked to him, and some random day we saw him at a Rite Aid, or she saw him at a Rite Aid, and he was telling her that he was part of a paranormal group, and if we were interested, to give him a call. So we did, and you know, the rest is history. We
Man,
joined
that's
up.
Pretty cool.
And we met up with Howie and everything, and you know, here we are. You know.
I didn't know that. Like, I've known y'all, you know, for a little bit, and I met Tommy. I didn't know that too. I didn't know that was a connection between them. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Amber, what was your reason for getting it in, or you know, or getting
into ASTS or into the paranormal in general?
Well, like, you know, Ryan told how he got into it, and then, you know, into the group.
I got into the group because I went up to Pep Boys. This is going to sound so stupid.
No,
I went up
girl.
To
did I not tell you the story about my
there's
sister falling asleep?
There's
nothing
around here.
Okay, well, I went up to Pep Boys to get a part for my car.
Uh-huh.
And the girl who came over to work on it, Kristen, happened to be part of the group. And I had no idea until, you know, I started saying something about I think I've got an attachment. And she was like, well, you know, I'm with a group, right? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, and, I mean, from there it just went to, well, you should talk to Howie. And there we go.
That's pretty cool.
And now she's hosting a radio show in the paranormal.
I know, right?
Crazy how shit happens, isn't it?
Hell yeah,
crazy,
man.
Crazy.
I'm going to go quiet again because I'm munching really hardcore on some crunchy stuff.
Okay, crunch and munch. Hey, Ashley, remember the dead bird in the depot?
Oh, my God, yes. I see that. I saw like three of them, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah.
I think it was like two of them, but that'd be just like... Damn, that's some freaky shit.
It added to us wanting to run the hell out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure when we were on the way to an investigation, it was like thunder and lightning, man. I thought we were going to just get a whole bunch of just really cool shit. Because I thought it was like the perfect time, the perfect night. Although the air was electric.
It's electric.
I thought for sure we'd get a whole bunch of stuff. But did you guys get anything from the exchange, from the investigation we went on?
No, we really didn't do anything either. The exchange, we've had some really cool things happen to us there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ashley and Rach was in a room investigating, and me and Deborah were kind of out on the, you know, like the third floor up there. We were sitting out there. And they turned around and told me and Deborah to kind of shush because we were being, you know, we're just talking normal.
Mm-hmm.
And
all of a sudden, when they said shush, we heard a man from the corner on the other side, you know, where they used to have, they've kind of updated it now, but they used to have the wheelchair and the wooden leg over there. I know that's weird, but that's how I remember that room. And we heard a man go shh like that, and we were like, whoa. Me and Deb were like, holy shit, you know. I mean, it was kind of cool. But that night, we really didn't catch anything. You know, it's kind of like hit or miss. I believe
it's
that.
Like, I think it's just like when you go fishing. Just because you go fishing,
exactly.
You're supposed to have a lot of fish, doesn't mean you're going to catch a lot of fish. You know, the fish might not be hungry that day or might not be eating. It might be a little bit lower than where your lure is.
Exactly.
You know?
I agree with that. And, like, you know, I listened to this guy one time and he was talking and he said, you know what, if you think of that the spirits are there, it's just one little thing that will trigger, kind of like when you're fishing. It's one thing just happens to be at that time that triggers.
Yeah. Or it could be one night you get a particular voice, a particular spirit. Next night, next time you go, different time, different location, different, like, not different location, but different, like, time of the year. Different weather, you might get something totally different, a different spirit who wasn't able to make contact with you before because the time was right. I mean,
we went places and we've got stuff off the roof. Like, we're like, oh, my God, that place is crazy. And then, like, I've talked to different teams that went back, like, a few months later, and they were like, there ain't much there. I'm like, what? Are you serious?
You got to be kidding me,
A bomber just came out of the wall. What are you doing, you know?
We got caught an EVP at Bell Nemus of a fucking Indian playing a drum.
Really?
In the main hallway at that place. It was crazy because, I mean, it's something you don't expect to hear. You know, you don't expect to hear, you know. But, I mean, it might have been the right time, time of the month. Maybe it was a residual haunting that only happened on that particular day. And we happened to catch it because I actually had my digital recorder in my pocket, and I thought I had cut it off. But I think I might have pushed. I thought I stopped it, but I didn't. I just took it out of my pocket, so I was able to catch that EVP on my recorder, and we were able to catch it on two static recorders upstairs and downstairs in the house.
That's pretty.
It wasn't just my recorder catching it.
You know, I do this on purpose, and sometimes, you know, Misty or, you know, my sister hates it because we both go through the evidence, and she sometimes goes over mine when I can't get the deadline or whatever. But I leave my recorder on the whole time. Like, as soon as we walk in, I turn mine on because if a ghost isn't really going to want to talk to you, then you might be able to get in passing something going on.
Amber does the same thing. She has the recorder on her phone, like one of the voice recorder things. And she just sets her phone down on the comm and pushes record and had to go the whole night.
Yeah,
and
is that the one that you can see the waves on it, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that one. Let me ask you, what do you think of the apps that people have on their phone and stuff like that, man?
Well, I mean,
you
I don't
know.
I have
bullshit.
Ass. I had a Ghost Hunter app, and, like, you know, it was free, and it was like every time I turned around, there was a ghost around. You're like, oh, shit, you know. I'm a haunted motherfucker because I had some ghosts. I had, like, fucking ghost groupies, you know. I was like the fucking man.
I didn't really give it much thought. I thought, hey, if people want to use them, they can use them. And then we went on an investigation with a group who that's all they had was their apps on their tablet. Dude, we put our regular stuff beside those apps, and it was like our regular stuff. Like, we had a mail meter, and then they had, like, an app that was supposed to tell the EMF and the location. This thing on this tablet was going crazy, like alarm, you know, high EMF, blah, 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 just going crazy. And they were advising the people, this is so bad for y'all to be here, this and that and the other. When we took our mail meter in, it didn't even register, dude. It was like nothing. And when you set it side by side with those things, like if you put our equipment that we use beside those tablet things, dude, you could see
gosh, I hope I don't offend anybody. So I apologize if I'm offending anybody, but they are shit, dude. I mean, they are, it's crap, you know?
Well, I figured if you can download it for free, it can't be that great. You know, if people
are
spending money, you can download a free EMF recorder or EMF detector.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, especially when we're going out there.
A lot
we're
of
going
those
out there
will actually say for fun. For fun.
Yeah,
not for
use.
Or for entertainment or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if it says that, then don't even go down that road.
I mean, you could use it to scare little kids or something. Oh, there's the ghost around you. Ooh, look at that.
And then some people use the Ovilus off their phone. To me, I mean, I haven't experimented with it, so if people do use it, then I don't want to be, you know, offensive or anything. This is just the way I think of it is, if you have an Ovilus on your phone, couldn't that search the web and figure out where your location is and then pop off certain things that's in the history of the place just to give you an, like,
well,
reference?
Well, I think I'd give a little too much credit to the apps that they would actually do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a lot of work, but, you know, obviously they can just spout out random words, and then we'd be trying to figure out what's the meaning of these words. What does this stuff mean? They just throw out words like apple or, you know, fucking
but
floor.
Then, like,
apple and floor, what
does
that mean? What does that, you know?
We had that going at Henricus. Remember in Mount Mulatto it said metal?
Yeah.
When I was talking. And, I mean, I've got all that shit in my face, so.
You got metal in your face, girl?
Yeah, I've got a ton of metal in my face.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Didn't the spirit want to, like it better with your hair down or something?
Mm. Yeah. That was weird. And then we got that, the name, which turned out to be a person that was very, very hard to find. Through history, like, he's still recorded as being in that location, though. So that
was
interesting.
That's why he was so pissed off that we didn't know who he was. But I think the person who was saying "fuck you" was mad because I was there. I think.
Yeah,
I was,
because
I think
we
I was the only
about
guy
you, and it
with,
was like,
with,
"fuck
with
him."
For girls, huh?
Oh my god!
When we asked, so what do you think about Ryan? It was like, fuck him.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
You made a friend,
right?
Maybe
that's
it was
right,
a
man.
Good, fuck him. You know, like a good one. Maybe you got a hot, you know, date, man, on
hey,
the other side.
That's right. Ryan, you look on the positive side. There was some hot chick ready to give it to you. You just couldn't see her.
Or dudes are good, too, you know.
That's hilarious.
I know, buddy. You're laughing. Sad, right?
That was cool, too, when we picked up the choir.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was on the spirit box, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you have
a
lot of music, per se, around y'all and stuff like that?
Hmm?
Like, on your investigations, do you pick up a lot of that?
We have. Like I said, we used music as a trigger object back in October at Bell Nemus, and that actually got some activity where the fucking phone was thrown off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, we caught the choir on the spirit box. That wasn't our spirit box. That belonged to someone else. We just happened to be there when she caught it.
Right.
You know, we were with their investigator, Rhonda Montgomery from Transcend Paranormal, and Tiffany Jones. We went to their investigation at Henricus. We were had a little paranormal get together in January.
Yeah.
So we caught the fuck you and all that shit with
yeah.
Them.
Oh my
so
goodness, that is crazy.
Yeah. So
has anybody, I'm just going to throw this out there, guys. Has anybody on your team, when they've been investigating, ever got, anything negative happen to them, as in touch, scratch, punch, anything like that?
Not on an investigation that I know of. I've had that kind of thing happen at home.
Wow.
You might want to move,
yeah.
Girl.
Oh, we're out of that house.
You told me what happened to you the other day.
That freaked me the fuck out, man.
Tell me
I was
happy,
just laying there in bed, and then like somebody, it felt like somebody decked me upside the face, and I jumped up, ran downstairs, and was like, "Mom, somebody just punched me." And she's like, "What are you talking about?"
Holy crap!
That's gotta be like.
Ryan, what did you say happened to you the other day, man?
I was telling Amber to tell you guys what happened the other day to her. At her house, but.
Oh, I was making the bed, and, like, I think I had just gotten out of the shower or was going to get in the shower, so I wasn't really wearing clothes,
mm-hmm.
And I was making my bed, something across the room fell over, and when I turned around, there was a man standing, behind me in the adjacent room, like, I could see him through the doorway, and I was like, oh, my God,
oh, my Lord,
scared the floor out of me. Of course, there was nobody really there, but he was solid, like, oof.
Was he solid, Amber? No, I'm sorry. As a rock. No.
Damn. He might have been something, who knows.
Amber's got a peace and calm spirit. Morty goes.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
You wash her in the shower, yeah.
Yep. We haven't had, I'm trying to think. The only time that we've had anything negative is maybe the Rocks, the Rocks were around. Have we had anything else?
We've had a recording of someone saying, like in a different room, we put two recorders in different rooms, and we were in another room, and we had a recorder, you know, stable in one room. And you could hear people, like they were mumbling to each other, they were like, no, don't talk. And you heard them, like, breathe funny, but... I mean, I don't think we've had anything negative other than that, the Rocks and that. But that's not really negative.
Yeah, like Major Graham's, man, that was the coolest thing ever is when we went into the slave quarters up there,
mm-hmm.
And there was no electricity there then, so that was really neat. And we left the recorder because, like, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about this, guys, about just leaving a recorder, and we found the best stuff like that because it's like they... Like, let's say that you're in a room and you're investigating. Well, if they don't want to be around, you know, let's think of them with their own personalities and stuff. Sometimes they do tend to maybe move to other rooms and stuff. And, you know, they do make noise. We don't think that they do, but they do, you know. And sometimes you can catch that. Catch, like, little words and things like that. And it's really cool if, you know, there's nobody there. So that's, like, really neat for us. But we had left a recorder back there, and it was... We went into the other front room, and you could hear very plainly. And normally we throw out any breathing a lot of times because you don't know who's breathing heavy or something like that on an investigation. But this was a room by itself, and you could hear it. It sounded like the guy was walking and just – and it was like he was upset. Or I don't know if he was upset that we were there or what it was, but it was just like he was pacing the floors. So that was really cool, you know? And that was like at Major Crimson, man. We got some cool stuff. We got EVP of a little girl, like something they got on Ghost Hunters when they went there was like a little girl. And that's kind of what we got there, too. It was like a little bit of a humming and stuff, you know?
Yeah. We've caught a lot. We've caught the same little girl on each investigation that Bill Nemus we've been on. She's always there on our recordings.
That is really cool.
It is.
I think that we were talking about earlier, I have seen an investigator go from, like, just being a regular investigator, showing up, you know, and trying to use, you know, certain devices to communicate. And I have went back later after this was kind of his home location, and he kept working with the spirits and stuff there. And the weird thing is I could hear him. It was at Major Graham's when the Ghost Hunters came, man, and I was helping lead a group, and P3 was the main group there, but, you know, they had called us in to help them just because of the large amount of people that were coming and stuff. And I will never forget that, man. We were sitting in the dining room above the basement, which was the shackle room, and this investigator, I could hear him below me. So what I did was,
I had around the table, there was different lights, you know, how you do the flashlight thing where you kind of do it. And there was a couple of those, and there was EMFs and, you know, K2s and all this stuff, right?
Yes.
And I heard him below, and I knew that maybe I could trigger them by him. And I said, do y'all hear him? You know, I hear him. Do you know him? And I shit you not, everything on that table lit up at once. I'm talking about K2s, lights turned on, millimeters, whatever was there lit up all at once. And this kid got scared, and he had to be taken out. I mean, he was like, Mommy, I want to leave. Which I would have never brought my kid to that kind of investigation, you know, unless you understand your kid's, I guess, maturity level. Like, your daughter, Ryan, goes with you, but she's on a different maturity level. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I take her on, like, I mean, maybe like, a public investigation.
Right.
Or something like that. I wouldn't mind her going.
But right, and you know her. Yeah, and you know that she's, like my son, I wouldn't take him because I know he's not capable of understanding completely what, you know, that this could just be debunked and stuff like that. But you can tell when you talk to your little daughter. She is square. She knows what's going. You know what I'm saying? She's very educated in this.
Yeah.
And she understands.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. But this kid was like, I got to leave. You know, but to sit there and watch that, and all I had to do was like, do y'all hear him, guys? Do y'all know him? And it was like everything. I was like, that was a very aha moment, man. That was like, whoa, you know?
I've actually got an interesting story to tell you about Rihanna, where you brought her up. This happened back in 2012, around it was in October. I was at my mom's mother-in-law's house, and I was watching TV, and my daughter and my niece were in the other room watching television as well. And they're sitting underneath the blanket. And I'm not in there, so this is her telling me the story. She said she was watching a story on the news about a little girl, a girl that had been abducted or had been missing because she was on her way to Starbucks and she hadn't been heard from. And all of a sudden she said she felt like a burning sensation on her arm. So she went to the bathroom and she looked over, like it was on her back shoulder. She looked back there and she said she could see like a little handprint on her arm, on her shoulder. And so she called Alexa, my niece, in there, and she confirmed that there was a hand, little tiny little handprint on her arm, on her back shoulder, like she'd been touched.
Oh my God!
And I told her, I'm like, are you sure you're not making this up, are you? He's like, no, both of them swore. And my sister-in-law Tasha was in there, and she said she saw the whole thing happen. Like,
holy crap!
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
You know, that's really neat.
I have
neat.
The picture. I'll send you the picture. When I get off here, and I thought it was really kind of freaky.
You should send it to us or put it on the FAPS web, like their Facebook page. Let everybody see that, man. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I try getting in touch with anybody who was on, 'cause I put it on Twitter, trying to get in touch with anybody who was in the paranormal field to see, you know, what if there was any kind of explanation. I told Howie about it, and he told me just to keep an eye on her to see if anything else
happened.
Definitely. And nothing else happened. No, that's it. And she didn't have anything else and no other experiences. She didn't feel bad afterwards, nothing. It was just that one thing. Maybe it was just some random thing that's passing by and just touching her and then going on.
Yeah, does she,
went
like...
on about their business or what? I don't know.
When you go to, like, investigations, does she ever tell you she feels anything or anything like that?
No.
Has she ever had any other intuition you can see? Like, maybe she'll mention a little something or this and that and other?
No, I mean, she hasn't said anything to me. I don't know if she feels anything. Like, if you go to take her to the exchange, I don't know if she would understand or comprehend that what she's feeling. See, that's my fault. When I go to a building or something and I feel a certain way, I'm just assuming it's just natural. How I'm feeling is just natural, but it may be something else. I just don't know what it is I'm feeling. I'm still learning this whole, like, you know, spiritual feeling stuff. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Exactly. Like, man, when we go into a place, like, people don't understand how our minds work, really. A lot of people just assume it's paranormal and stuff, but as you're looking around a room, you're exactly right, Ryan. You take in so many cues, because at the end of the day, we're all animals, and we're all, at one point, had to fight for our lives and things like that. Our brain's still hardwired like that. So when we go into a room, we automatically, our brain scans it. Within a second, we can tell if there's danger. And you know how you go into a location and you get that pit feeling and you're like, oh, my God, you know, I just feel dread here. It doesn't necessarily mean there is, like, activity there. It just means your brain is picked up on something that it's like, okay, we got to back out of this. I don't know the all that's going on. Like, if a location's dark, automatically our brain starts giving off a chemical that will automatically make us start coming down, which will
if you know that if you hear stories about a location, your brain will automatically start thinking, like, oh, well, this place is haunted. Well, I should start feeling fear right now because they're, you know. But we've got, like, 5 minutes left to go in the show, which has gone by really fast. I'm mad.
You're talking up a storm, man.
I know. We got to do this again. I mean, no, shoot, not just on the show. We'll call it, you know, call me anytime you want. You got
my number? Man.
You know, I think we need to let you guys tell us what you have coming up.
Okay.
As far
as
what you guys got going on.
Okay, well, we're going to be seeing y'all at the Boxwood next month.
Yes, you will.
We're going to be seeing at the Boxwood, Paracon Boxwood at Newport News. Then we have, this coming weekend, which is really cool, we're going to Lexington to check out the Poorhouse Tunnel. That is something that's like a legend lore up our
Lexington,
way. So
Virginia?
We're going to check that out. Then
yeah,
we're going.
I think, guys, you talked about their, like, Virginia, right? Like
Washington
Lee is. I think I drove through that tunnel. Was it?
Did you drive the car through there? Well, I know this one's in Lexington, so I'm not for sure exactly. I just know that the story is that there's children that call you into the tunnel, and I think there's been some hangings there, and, you know, pretty much everything you could throw in a tunnel.
Wow. That is cool.
So we're going to check that out, and we're going to the Boxwood. Then we're also going back to Old South Pittsburgh, and, you know, we've been asked to go back there. And then we got a couple more cons, and hopefully this year we are going to Scarefest, which we are super excited about.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
Heck yeah. Anytime you can hobnob with celebrities and stuff, I mean, it's really cool.
Where is Scarefest? Where is that?
It's located in Kentucky, and it's like a big weekend of just like guys from, like, let's say the Ghost Adventures, guys from the Ghost Hunters,
special effects,
yeah, like Horses. Makeup and yeah, all kinds of crap. Y'all gotta check it out. It's scarefest.com, isn't it, Ashley? Yeah, it's really cool. It's like a blowout, man. It's really awesome, and they have like parties, and they have like, you know, costume things, and they have, like, I mean, it's, you get to stay at the Hyatt, like, if you pay into it, so you're definitely, it's awesome, guys. And then going back to North Carolina, I mean, we got a lot of things going on.
That is so cool. It sounds like you girls have got a busy year coming up, and we're very, very excited to see what you guys can come up with and everything, and we'll definitely watch your updates. I gotta jump off
because I got a call.
Okay.
And you're two minutes till 11. Y'all will probably go into the archives, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But I just wanted to say thank you guys for coming on. I'm sorry I couldn't
be more
interactive.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
yes.
It was great.
Yeah.
And thank you for talking with us. And Ryan, thank you for y'all two being a great
thank you guys very much for coming on. And I'll see you
at Paracon, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Paracon and then Paraquest the weekend after. So.
Yep.
All
right. I'm going to jump off and take this call. You guys have a good night. Thank you.
All right,
okay,
good night.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
That's how we roll, brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think we had a good interview. I think a good fucking chat session.
Heck yeah.
Thank you, girls, for talking with me and, you know, talking to us, giving our audience, get to know a little bit more about you. It was... It was a good time. Next time I'll be sure to be drinking beer. And not.
Oh, gosh, we got to try that drinking game, dude. Anytime anybody says paranormal, we have to take a shot.
You know, I don't think we said paranormal that much tonight. We need to work on that and say it more often if we're going to
do
that.
Next time,
you know?
Every other one is going to be paranormal.
Every
have
other
a
world.
Paranormal night, run.
All right, we're down to 10 seconds, girls. Thank you very much for coming on.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank
and
you.
And I'll talk to you girls later. All right.
Okay,
bye,
Ryan.
All right, that was it. Thank you very much, Fast Nation. Mm.